Well, good morning, CDK. Good to have you guys. Wasn't it a nice breath of fresh fall this morning? I think it was 70 on our thermometer. I said, it feels nicer out here. This is kind of, this week it's turning, it's getting exciting. You know, when fall starts happening, it just feels good and everybody begins to perk up a little bit. And 9:30 worship, you don't feel quite as asleep, do you? Well, it's good to have you here, and I just want to encourage you, as Justin shared with you, Wednesday night, we have a gathering prayer night, and we want to be praying about the vision of this church and the Act to Thrive, and we've got some folks that will share some updates, so it should be exciting. So we'll share some updates, and we'll gather as a community and really pray together as a body, and just invite you to come out. Child care will be available for that Wednesday night at 6:30. If you're new with us today, good to have you here. Let's give them some encouragement, folks. Good to have you. And I hope when you came in, you had a chance to meet some folks and get one of those wonderful bags. There's some good treats in there. And just let people love on you in the life of the body. We have been sharing together in a series called Inside Out. And the heart of that series is seeking what Jesus deeply values and why Jesus values these things. And therefore, if Jesus values them, how can we value them intrinsically as a church and as a people? How do they become game changers in how we live out our lives when we value what Jesus values? So if you missed some of those, they're all online. I encourage you to go back. They'll be incredible for your life individually and as you live in community with other people. One of them we looked at was relationships. And saying at CDK, we value relationships because that's the heart of what Jesus valued. He loved the world, and the world is you, you know, and me. And he loved us so much to give his life for us. And when you value relationships, it affects everything you do. It affects how we care for one another and how we live out mission and how we encourage and people to become what God calls them to become. Another that we talked about was this aspect of sharing Jesus. We value sharing Jesus. And it's really neat to watch the culture in this congregation change and shift as this value gets deep in our heart, in our lives. Literally, the last words that Jesus said is, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. In essence, sharing the hope that is inside of you, that hope that comes because Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. The third one we talked about was God's presence, that we value God's presence. That we know that being in the presence of God is a game changer for how we live our lives. If we're feeling hopeless, if God's presence is with us, why be hopeless? Because he's in charge. He's got you. If you're feeling discouraged and God's presence is with you, you know that he's going to move and work in a powerful way to raise you up. In fact, it was David we talked about that prayed, God, please do not remove me from your presence. David knew that he would implode on himself without the presence of God. We value being in his presence. That's what we share together in worship. The very start, first of the day, is because we need to come from a world that's kind of captured us and enter into the presence of God and begin to see this real sense and value of the presence of God. Last week, Pastor Bill shared with you on honor. In this value by which God created us in his image, and that alone gives us an intrinsic value to honor. When Paul speaks about honor in the scriptures, he doesn't speak about honor because you like this or like that about someone. He speaks about honor because one belongs to Jesus Christ. So we learn to value the honor that we have because we are his people and created in his image. Today, I want to walk us through the last piece that we want to look at on values, and that is empowerment. We value empowerment. And what is empowerment really? If you look at it from kind of a systems way and how you define it practically, it goes like this. Empowerment is the act or action of empowering someone, the granting of the power, the right, the permission, or the authority to perform various acts or duties. So I want you to think about that for a moment and what it means to value empowerment. If you value empowerment, you're really releasing inside of another human being all that that person was meant to be, that God had created them to be. Now, we all know people that are empowering in our lives. We know people that are unempowering in our lives. And that's the challenge, is as a church, we're called to be a church that's empowering so that we can find the freedom, discover our purpose, and make a difference in the world. We move together in how we encourage one another to be empowered by what God has given you and me. At the end of the day, no one really remembers what you've accomplished. What they will remember is what you said or what you allowed them to be. Now think back in your own life. The people that you remember are the ones that either helped you or what? Hurt you. They empowered you or they depowered you. That's what's held on in our lives. And to be an individual, our church empowerment, what Jesus did when he moved around was always lifting up everybody in a different way. He lifted up the women in a culture. He lifted up children in a culture. He lifted up men in a culture. He lifted up those who were separated from the culture, those who were abandoned in the culture. God was always, through his son Jesus Christ, lifting up and empowering people to become who God had called them to be. Yesterday, I had the privilege of spending time with Puerto Nuevo Church. It was this weekend is their grand opening. They have had a soft launch. They've been meeting together, but this weekend was their grand opening. I was preaching there yesterday, and they had several other speakers and singers that were part of the day. In fact, they're going to continue today. So I would encourage you to empower them after you leave your worship today. Go over there. They're down behind Cookout on 49. You can't miss it. And just stop in and say hi. That, you know, being together is actually a gift of empowerment. You know, when you show up at your kids' stuff, they feel a little bit more what? Empowered, don't they? You know, showing up is an empowerment, is a part of that. And yesterday we had some delightful time together. And after I was speaking with them, another fella came on the stage. He's a pastor, Jose Crespo Jr. from Puerto Rico. And he's a passionate pastor in Puerto Rico. He has a radio show. His church has grown crazy. And he was sharing with them and just walking with them, what's it like to live beyond the Jordan? And I was speaking on the first part of that, and he was bringing on the other part of that, of what it's like to have giants in the land, and address that. And he was sharing. He said, you know, when I was 19 years old, part of my church in Puerto Rico, and our pastor, who'd been with us a long time, resigned. And it wasn't one of these churches where we're going to go find somebody else to go find us a pastor. It was like, you know, we need to find us a pastor. Who's going to be our pastor? So they begin to look around the congregation and wonder who's going to be the pastor. It'd be kind of like me looking at you and go, all right, Dan, you're up next. Or T, come on up here, man, you're on today. How old are you, T? 15. He says, they're looking for a pastor. And one of the elders in the church showed up today, and they say to Jose, hey, Jose, we're looking for a pastor in our church. He says, yeah, I've heard about that. He says, you're it. You're laughing. He said, I'm laughing too. He said, what are you talking about? He said, and he goes on to say, my car was hopped up and had blue lights under it. You get the picture. He said, that's my life. You want me to be your pastor? He said, yeah. We see something in you. And we believe you're called to do this. You know, he's hyperventilating at this point. He said, 21 years later, he's pastoring an amazing church. He said, but I also remember another conversation. Fella come up to me in the church and he said, I'll give you 3 months, you're never going to make it. Those are two stories he told yesterday. What are the two things he remembers 21 years later? The one who came and looked in his life and said, you have the anointing of God. Let's go. And the one who said, I'll give you 3 months and you're going to be out. Empowerment. Means everything, doesn't it? It's how we equip. It's how we draw out. It's how we look at the favor that God has on another human being that he created in his image. And we either make a decision at that point as to whether we bless that anointing of God or we curse that anointing of God. You hear me, church? We're called to value empowerment. I look around in our church and I see people like Caitlin Wisnett and Addie was up here singing in vocals and T up here playing on the stage and these folks at Abigail, who's out on world mission and living it out. And I look at them living in this pipeline. And there are many others in the life of this church. I see them living in this pipeline because somebody said, hey, you got something that God sees and we see, we want to help you become. That's not just with students. That's with adults too. Take a look at one out in the parking lot here last week. If you missed the rain last week, I'm going to embarrass one of you. There you go. That's empowerment. No one told this servant of God how to do this. God empowered her to live life to the fullness. She owns this. Okay? She owns this. I took a picture of some of them standing out in the rain looking mighty lonely. It's pouring down. They got their umbrellas up. And you can't teach this. You can only encourage it. This is what God's called you to be. Take a look at this video. This is how empowerment happens.
What would it look like if your family became a family on mission? Not across the ocean, but across the street. Ensuring that your family has a purpose and an identity that reflects Christ.
Jesus teaches that in order to find yourself, you need to give yourself away.
Whether you are using specific gifts and skills or just simply your presence, serving together connects your family to God and each other.
It's our responsibility as believers to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
You're never too busy, too unqualified, or too young to show someone the love of Christ. Or to just tell them,
Jesus loves you.
So serve and give your life to Christ, and you will find yourself in the process.
So what do you think's happening in those kids' lives? They're learning to live the God calling because their parents take them on a trip with them and help them learn it. It's empowerment. And it happens when we're intentional about drawing out of one another each person's God-given potential. I'm reminded another, some of you in this congregation may remember a woman by the name of Laura Wagner. Anybody remember her? Tells me how old you are. She was here in the very early days of this church, very early days of this church. And she came up to me one day and she said, you know, I want to start a preschool. I said, okay. What do you need to start a preschool? How can we help you? And we sat down, and she entered into a leadership class with me and some others, and she took a time to really learn what it meant to lead and lead spiritually. And then she started it. For a year, she toiled in that labor and that soil. No pay. She was passionate to be encouraged to live out this dream and heart of what God was calling her to be. And it would be a year before there would even be a preschool that would be active to have any economic resource to actually pay for it. She worked it out. And now, some 15 years later, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of kids, literally, have been touched with the love of Jesus by those who've carried out that legacy. If somebody said, hey, I got a dream. I got a vision. How do we fan the flame of that vision? So why are we so passionate about this value of empowerment? Why do we see it as so important for the church? And why do we believe it's an essential value to nurture in our lives? There's three things I put in your outline today I think we need to hold on to. Number one is this. Empowerment is a right given to you by God. Empowerment is a right given to you by God. Let me say it again. A right. Say that with me. A right. Many of you have had your rights stolen by unempowering people, by a world that has squished your dreams and your desires and people who've been unhelpful in you living out what God's called you to live out. But it's a right, and I want you today to grab hold of that right. Because God has created you for more. God has done this all along the way. God empowered one named Joseph in a dream. Joseph had no idea what it would all mean, but God was empowering him because God knew that years down the road would be a famine. And when this famine come, that all of his chosen people, these people of Israel, would be wiped off the face of the earth in famine. If there wasn't a place that had stored up food for them to go and a person to invite them in, that would be Joseph many years later. Go back and read the story. Powerful story. Joseph had no idea of the impact that he was going to have on anyone's life, much less in Egypt, or much less the future lives of millions of people that would follow him at the moment by which God was empowering him. And the same is true for you and me. 21 years later, Pastor Osue shares. That those people that stood there on that one day had no idea how those words and that empowerment would impact and share thousands of people over the years. You see, God's got something in your life you can't even see right now. But he wants you living out your life and your empowerment to the fullness because he sees what's coming. And it's going to have a ripple effect in a powerful way. Laura Wagner could never begin to imagine the fruitfulness of years of preschool when she first toiled a year and people were fanning the flame. People like God put Ruth and Naomi, you know, in desperate situation. God was empowering them together to be what would literally be the faithfulness of two women to carry out the very lineage of the person of Jesus. In desperate times, they stayed faithful to what God had called them to be. In creation, we were empowered. And Genesis says, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. That means we're to be stewards of everything that God's created us. And to fill the earth and subdue it does not mean that we're just to multiply people on the face of the earth. What it is to mean is we're to multiply the image of God in the nature of the earth, in the face of the earth. That's what it's talking about. It's not just about 6 billion people. It's about 6 billion people knowing Jesus. And knowing their creator, that's what it was about. And to be given authority, you see, that's empowerment. That's ownership. It's handing it over. God's saying, here, I equipped you for this. I made you for this. But how easy we step away from it. But when we step away from it, and we confess of it, we say, you know, God, the world stole my joy. The world stole my calling. What is my purpose? Where am I called to make a difference? In John 1:2, take a look at this passage. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. See, God's always calling us back. Through the cross, Jesus Christ showed us his passion and love for us. He showed us how deep he longs to abide with us and to be in relationship with us. And he says that when we turn from our other way, when we repent, when we turn from our unempowered lives, and we say, God, you created my life for more. You created my life for more. I want to claim what you created my life for. I want to believe in you. He gives us the right to become his children, sons and daughters. And when you have the right, say that with me, the right. You have the right to be his children. And when you are his children, you are an heir of God, okay? Get that. You are an heir of God. If you're an heir of Jesus Christ, it means that you have what he has. Amen, church? You have what he has. He wants to give you all wisdom and authority and power and knowledge and all that. You are his heir, sons and daughters. You have the right to become sons and daughters. That's what it means. That's the good news of believing and belonging to Jesus Christ. You become an heir to the creative order by which he's given you. You see, it's your right, and you don't want to walk away from your right. Take a look at how Paul writes about it in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Let's take a look at that passage. It says this, and so from the day we heard, now what did he hear? Let's go back to the context of from the day we heard, basically is what he's saying. From the day we heard, you gave your life to Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. From the day that we heard that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, he says, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with your rights. Let me just put that in there. That you may be filled with your rights, because he already knows this is what God wants to give you. What are your rights? That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. When Jesus prayed, when the disciples asked Jesus, what are we to pray? And he says, pray, your will be done, your kingdom come, that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will. You see, if we haven't asked the Lord in our life, we're not seeking his will. If we're not seeking his will, we're only seeking our will, okay? We want to hear his will. We want to be in his way. We want to walk in it, because that's where our purpose is. And that's where we're divinely designed to make a difference in the world. He says, you'll get spiritual wisdom and understanding. That you'll have a wisdom and understanding that's unlike the world. It's your right to have it. It's your right to have it. You'll see things others don't see. It's your right to have it. It's the aha moments you get at times when you're talking with someone and all of a sudden you have an awakening. Whoa, I didn't see that before. That only comes because God gave it to you. You're seeing through spiritual eyes. You see, all those passages of healing the blind weren't just about healing the blind physically. It was about healing the blind that we can't see spiritually. God calls our lives to more. It's your right. He goes on to say, you can bear fruit in every good work. Not just work, but you begin to be fruit-bearing. Fruit-bearing lasts. Our work, our physical work, doesn't. It comes and goes, but fruit-bearing lasts. He goes on to say that you may be strengthened with all power. It's your right to be strengthened. If you're feeling washed up and wiped out today, it's your right to be strengthened. The power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and the power of the Holy Spirit wants to strengthen you. You don't have to stay where you are. We all get worn out. I do. I get tired. But it's my right to call on the Lord and to give me strength in a season and in a time when it's difficult. And guess what he does? When I do that, and I don't rely on my own power and strength, he gives me that strength. It's my right, because I'm his son. I'm a son of the king. But he goes on to say even more, for all endurance, for all patience, and all joy, he's given us the right to have that. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you, who's qualified you. He gave you the right to be qualified for heaven. Not because you and I are sinless or perfect. We will never be. He qualified us because of his blood on the cross. What a gift. What a gift. That we may share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the dominion of darkness. He's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That means that you have the right not to keep sinning the way you are. That's what he means by transferring you from darkness. Many of us say, man, I'm caught in this trap. No, you're not. You're caught in your trap. But God has given you the right to get out of the trap. That's why he sent his son Jesus to deliver you and me. We have the right to it. We don't have to stay in the same place. We get the forgiveness of our sins. He's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There's nothing more empowering than to be forgiven and be able to move forward. Wow. In James chapter 1. James reminds the church, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Hear that, church? If you just get on your knees, if I just get on my knees and I say, God, I submit to your will and to your wisdom, please give me your wisdom, God's going to say, here it is. He's not going to say, you know, Craig, I'm not giving you wisdom because you tried to live on your own yesterday. Without reproach. He loves you. It's your right to claim it. He wants you to have it. And you seek him. In John 14, 26, he says this, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all the things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He's saying that it's your right to have the Holy Spirit in you. The power. Many of the disciples in the early days waited. And in the book of Acts, the revealing of the power of the Holy Spirit began to come upon the people. And they began to speak in other languages. In essence, they were empowered to share the gospel with all the earth. They were not meant to stay still where they were because the world was changing. And they would need to be able to speak the languages of the whole world. They would need to have the spiritual gifts and abilities that come from the spiritual power of God. You see, that's a gift that's given to us by God. In fact, 1 Corinthians says it in chapter 12. Paul's writing to that church. And he says, all these, he's speaking about gifts, all these gifts, gifts like healing, miracles, wisdom, knowledge, faith, leadership, service, generosity, kindness, hospitality, and the list goes on when you look at them through the New Testament. They are empowered by one and the same Spirit. Hear that? They are empowered by one and the same Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. When we ask the Lord Jesus in our lives, the Spirit comes upon us, and we are given gifts. We are empowered with gifts, apportioned to each one individually as He wills. No one is left out. It's your God-given right to be empowered. You are a son and daughter of the King. If you're feeling today, man, God left me out. No, not in this church. Just give us 10 minutes with you. We'll find your gift. And we will empower you. God is that good. He's that good. The second key is this. Empowerment is an essential practice of the Christian life. That's why we value this so much. It was the heartbeat of the early church. The church grew radically because people were feeling empowered in the mission of God. Who wants to come to an unempowering place? But boy, you want to be in a place by which the Spirit and the fire of the Spirit of the Lord is in that place, and you're having a chance to be drawn out of you everything God wants you to be. Now, that's a packed church. That was the early church. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 10. Already the culture of the church, you and me, was being shaped early in every sector, whether it was house church, beyond that, temple church, whatever. There was a culture that was developing, and that culture was an empowering culture. In chapter 10 in Hebrews, it says this, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." Now, what does it mean to consider? I'm going to pick on Heidi. She's in the front row. See, you asked for it. You sit on the front row. That doesn't mean the rest of you can. I won't pick on you every week. But she can handle this. If I'm to consider Heidi, I've got to sit down and I've got to have a conversation. I've got to listen to her heart. And I've got to listen to what God's saying in her life. I've got to watch what Heidi's gifted at. And I've got to observe what she's good at and what she's not good at. I am considering. We need to consider how to stir one another. I am considering. I'm thinking about it. I'm engaging. And then when I discover, I need to say, this is what I see. Are you seeing what I see? Is this something God has given to you? Is this something natural in your life? Is this how God's moving and stirring in you? And if Heidi says, well, yeah, I think it is, I'm going to say, well, how can we fan the flame? How can we go a little bit further? How can we encourage you to accomplish this? How can we help surround you with the gifts and talents you need to accomplish the very thing that God is calling you to do? Amen? It's that simple, church. Every one of us in this room are given that gift. Every one of us in this room can consider. That was the culture of the early church. Let us consider how to stir up what? One another. Not just pastor, congregation, but one another. That we pay attention to what's going on in each other's lives and we draw out what God is doing. Not neglecting to meet together. You can't do it unless you meet together, unless you know one another. You can't do it. You got to get. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now let's just stop on that for a moment. In that day, they were believing Jesus Christ was coming at any moment. Unless you think we shouldn't still think that way, you'd be wrong. The Bible tells us all the time, live ready. We don't know when our day is to join Jesus in heaven if we're a believer. We don't know what that means or what that looks like. We don't know when Jesus is going to return again. We don't know. We live every day ready and empowered, living out to the fullness of ability. But I will tell you this, and let's go back to Pastor Jose. The day was approaching. And there was a choice. He would live now 21 years as a dynamic pastor in the church, or he would continue in his hopped-up car with blue lights. You get the picture. The day was approaching. And we make decisions one way or the other every single day by what we use as empowerment or depowerment. Every single day. And it shifts us and it changes us. Paul writes in Thessalonians to this church, he says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. He's actually encouraging them to say, hey, you're doing this really well. Keep it up. I asked some folks this past week, I said, share with me where you are seeing empowerment in your life through the life of this church. Is this church empowering? And I got a lot of responses. I could spend the next 2 hours sharing them with you, but I'll just share with you a few. For example, here's one, writes, CDK Church has taught me to be stronger and more confident in my identity as a child of God. CDK has taught and empowered me to be a better leader in my workplace and everyday life. CDK Church has helped me put down spiritual roots that help me grow in my relationship with Jesus. I've been empowered to live and serve Christ at CDK by being a worship leader. CDK, I've learned to look for how God is moving in my life, to reflect and respond with thanksgiving. Imagine being empowered to see the work of God and to respond to it. CDK Church has empowered me personally to a higher level of commitment and urgency to stand firm with my faith and help connect others to the message of Jesus Christ. CDK Church has empowered me to deal with this crazy world and empowered me to go forth in a world with confidence. You can go out tomorrow. You're going to be okay. CDK Church has empowered me to share Jesus with people in the world. CDK Church has empowered me to have conversation with others about the hope that's within me. We value empowerment. We know it changes lives in incredible ways. Justin shared with you a little about this family partnership. That's about empowerment. It's an initiative, part of our Act to Thrive appeal. We're on a pilot this year. We want to take it through the whole community and get other churches and neighbors to be involved. But the key, the big God picture, is that there would be no kid in the school systems around us that feel unempowered. That's the big God move. This year, we'll take on a few and we'll learn something. We're pairing three families with one student and their family to be able to draw out of them everything God, their right, has created them to be. But that's what it means. That's the church. It's the culture of the church, at least the church of Jesus Christ. And we have to work hard to keep it. It's the culture of our own today. We live in a world that can quickly unempower us. When you think about next step, which is a journey that if you come to CDK, we encourage you, hey, go to next step. And that next step process is that you would know the God who's empowered you, number one, that you would be a part of a congregation that helps you live out your purpose and calling in the midst of the world. It's an important thing, if you've never been a part of it, to be a part of it, because it's about empowering you to be who God's called you to be. So what does it take to live out and be that church? It's really as simple as what I demonstrated with Heidi a second ago. It's paying attention to one another. It's considering, how do we lift up? How do we encourage? I had a fellow the other day, Marilyn and I were sitting down with a couple at CTK and having a conversation about Act to Thrive and the vision moving forward. And this couple was older than us. And when you're older than us, you get special privileges. Okay, you can tell me your mind, and I won't push back. We're sitting there, and we're talking about what God's doing through the congregation, what God's doing in the community, and the passion, the vision that God gave us 25 years ago, and how it's continuing to form and change to meet the culture and the needs of today. You know, everything has to be reframed and thought about and move forward and impact because the world changes. And we finished, we were having some conversation going back and forth. And at the end of the time, this man, and I won't reveal him because I don't want to embarrass him. This man leans across the table. And he doesn't talk a lot, but when he talks, you listen. And he's quite my senior. So he gets the privilege of this. Anybody had this done to them? You know, my generation doesn't do this much. But the generation above me does a lot because my mom and dad, boy, they know where that finger's at, okay? He looks at me and he points his finger. This Pastor Craig, I've got a warning for you. The ball in my stomach was growing at this moment, and I'm going, holy. I can't say the other word. And he looks at me. And he says, there will be many who will derail this vision. They'll want to lessen it. They'll want to break it apart. They'll want to make it less than what God's called it to be. Stand firm. The world needs this. And as a tear flowed down my eyes, I just said, thank you. I needed that empowerment. All of us do. To what God's called us to be as a body. And that leads to the third. An empowered church saves lives. And what is an empowered church? It's very simple. An empowered church is you and me. When we are living out the gospel of Jesus Christ with everything that God has given to us, the church of Jesus Christ is empowered. It's empowered in every way. In the Bible, it says that some gave to apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip what? The saints for the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. That's an empowered church. An empowered church saves lives. Thank you, CTK Church. When I see pictures of umbrellas out there, when I see people serving radically, when I see people on the stage and people in the pipeline, when I see people giving radically and giving their lives, that's an empowered church. We're being the church. Thank you for being the church. Because an empowered church saves lives. In Acts 1, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We are empowered by God. Let me close with this. Let me just remind you again what an empowered church looks like in Acts 2. Because the Act to Thrive appeal is all about Acts 2. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That is an empowered church. That's why we value empowerment. The world changes through it. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. You've given us the right to live out our giftedness. You have empowered us through the Holy Spirit moving and stirring in our lives. We thank you, Father. Today I ask, Father, if there's anyone in this room that has not asked you to be the Lord of their life, that they would do so. They would just cry out to you, Lord. I don't want to do it on my own. I want your power in my life. May you come and move in their lives powerfully today, Lord Jesus, as you have promised. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.